Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the December 21st, 2023 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Intergovernmental Relations Committee. This meeting is also available telephonically for access by the public. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask participants to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Meyer speaking. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view today's agenda. This morning, we are not anticipating votes. We have only a review and discussion item. In the event the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. Chairman of the Intergovernmental Relations Committee, Stephen McAllister, will preside this morning. Commissioners, please do state your name each and every time prior to speaking. And with that, I will ask Committee Chairman McAllister to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Steve McAllister, and I call the meeting to order at 10:57. I'm going to ask Carol to conduct a roll call.
Certainly. Committee Chair McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Craven.
Here.
Committee Member Pryor.
Here.
Commissioner Womer.
Here.
All right. Thank you, Carol. First up, agenda item number one is the, Steve McAllister. The review and discussion of Rhode Island Housing Draft 2024 State and Federal Legislative Priorities. I'm going to introduce Amy now, who's our Director of Government Relations and Policy, who will present committee agenda item number one. Amy.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Amy Rayhill. Before I dive in, just a little context. This is the sort of the preliminary meeting of the Intergovernmental Relations Committee before the General Assembly session has begun. We expect it to be another busy session from the standpoint of housing-related legislation, and we'll be coming back to the committee probably in March or April once the bills have been introduced to speak more in terms of the broader context of legislation that's been introduced and positions that we'll be taking. I would also note that this doesn't address what we're discussing today, does not speak to the budgetary priorities. Obviously, the governor hasn't introduced his budget yet, and we look forward to seeing the housing-related investments that may be part of that document. However, today we're focused specifically on some of the pieces of legislation that Rhode Island Housing will specifically be prioritizing and trying to move forward in the coming session. The first one is related to project-based Section 8 rental assistance. As you know, Rhode Island Housing serves as the performance-based contract administrator, the HUD, in Rhode Island, overseeing the contracts of about 16,000 units of Section 8 developments around the state. For a number of years, HUD has been attempting to sort of rebid those contracts and move towards out-of-state entities, regional oversight, things that basically remove those, they work around working with those properties out of the state potentially. So, and we are working, as you'll see a little bit later in the federal piece of this, with the congressional delegation on that at the federal level. But at the state level, several of the states have made changes to their enabling legislation or to their state language at the state level to make it clear that only the statewide public housing authority within the state has the authority to administer these contracts. Under federal law, these contracts must be administered by a public housing authority. The competition nationally has been among other PHAs trying to move into jurisdictions in other states. Vermont, in particular, in our region, has done that, clarifying the language in their statute. So we basically are modeling some proposed legislation off of the Vermont statute, which would make it clear that the statewide housing authority in Rhode Island Housing, would be the only public housing authority in the state authorized to administer these contracts, which should put us in a better position if and when HUD goes back out to bid for this service, which we anticipate happening. So that's the first one. The second bill that we're going to be looking to introduce is around Rhode Island Housing, giving Rhode Island Housing an option of second refusal to purchase state-owned property. This is a bill that was introduced a couple of years ago that we worked with the administration on. We're tweaking the language a little bit, reintroducing. Again, that's really just around making sure that if property is being surplus by the state and is appropriate for residential development, that we have the opportunity to secure those properties and redevelop them as affordable housing.
Chairman, might I ask a question?
Yep.
So on this one in particular, I mean, I know our staff is in communication, but I'd just like to keep it encouraging that there's likely to be some things in the release of the budget that impact the language around this broadly, not specific to this. So I think that communication would be helpful. I do think some tweaks are needed. I've looked at past legislation on this subject. I'd like to be in a position of supporting it from a process standpoint, because I certainly support it from an overall goal standpoint. So I just want to encourage the further discussions.
Absolutely. We're working very closely with the Department of Administration and with BUDA around the language to make sure that we come to an agreement on language that everybody supports.
Thank you.
The third.
Can I ask a question just about that?
Oh, sure.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
Does some of the conversation pertain to the flow of the funds, the proceeds of funds, if there were to be proceeds, or let me ask more generically, what is the subject matter of the discussion?
This is Amy again. So we're talking mostly right now around the issue around group homes. Mm-hmm. The state is looking at the long-term plan around disposition of group homes.
Mm-hmm.
And the BUDA had legislation in the last session which prioritized transferring group home properties mm-hmm. to the providers themselves operating those. So that's an area of interest. We have heard also about the issue around potentially the funding side.
Right.
So that's another area that is part of the discussion.
This is John from Walmart. If I could add one other topic.
Please.
Just to be fully transparent, I think there's also a discussion around
sure.
On process and timing.
Got it.
The number of the frequency of this event and then how like the follow through of the process would happen such that we're not talking about this for like 6 months. It's mm-hmm. like a much shorter period of time where things get resolved.
Does that make sense?
Because there's other existing legislation that talk about the steps, and so if you insert another step and without taking into account, you get the idea.
Oh, yes. That's helpful. Thank you.
Great. So the third piece of legislation, again, last month the board approved Rhode Island Housing contracting with a consultant who's going to be working with us around identifying barriers, statutory and regulatory barriers to maximizing the use of solar and renewable energy in affordable development. So they're at work right now, and we anticipate having some recommendations from them by the end of February. So it is our hope that we will be able to have some statutory language to recommend in the current session, and we'll see how that plays out. Don't have anything drafted at this point. So those are the three sort of areas that we are looking specifically to be moving forward in this coming session. Are there any other questions on the state?
Just a couple. So there's always a couple of bills that come up that we're not fans of, usually the same type of bills and stuff like that. What are those, and do we expect them to come back again in the session?
Right. So there's There are a few bills in particular that commonly are raised. One is legislation around the 8% tax, which is the rate that affordable developments pay. That is regularly reintroduced, although in the last session, it really didn't get any traction at all, which was good. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that in the coming session to see if there's any movement on that side. The other is around, probably mostly around the Low and Moderate Income Housing Act and what kind of legislation moves forward, and is it legislation that strengthens the act, or is it legislation that might undermine some aspects of the act? So we are happy to be a participant in the LOMOD Commission, and a lot of that discussion is happening there. So we do have the opportunity to provide input at that level as well. However, I have to say the last few years, most of the legislation that's been coming out has been much more positive, on the positive side, streamlining and
nice to be on offense for one.
Exactly. So, the Speaker Shikarchi, really there have been a lot of pieces of legislation that are really streamlined and remove barriers, and we've been happy to support those legislative efforts.
Mm-hmm.
So, anticipate that probably is the moving angle we're going to be seeing in the coming session as well.
Expecting any pushback at the State House from the local development, but on my other hand, and the city, we had to pass something to get up to all the new changes for January 1st, and Warwick, no problems, but I see other towns, they kind of pushing back and stuff like that. Will that have any effect, or do you think more of that is coming? I mean, everything's local, and that's been the whole thing with housing nationwide,
Right. And I would note that through the Municipal Technical Assistance Program, we're able to help finance the creation of a set of template documents that I think were very helpful to the municipalities in implementing the many changes that were made to state land use and zoning kind of ordinances in the last session. So I think that has been helpful, and the assistance that consultants are providing to help municipalities implement those. So it was good to be able to provide some support on that side. Certainly, we're hearing from, and as I'm sure you are, and many others are hearing from municipalities that have concerns around the time frame for implementation or different aspects of the legislation. I don't know what's going to be introduced. It wouldn't be surprising to see legislation introduced around some of those aspects. I do know that there were some discrepancies in the statute where one piece was changed maybe of the law but not another one, so there might be a few discrepancies that sort of came out actually of the consultant process for the template documents. So I would certainly anticipate something on that front in terms of addressing some of those discrepancies. But we'll see. It's going to be a very active year on that front.
Any other questions on state legislation before we move to Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good presentation, as always, Amy. And these are very worthwhile pursuits as general matters. We all have to get to the refinements that we talked about and make sure we answer the questions that we may have. I do want to make sure that on what's on our official agenda, as you indicated, Amy, at the top of your remarks, to your credit, we don't miss the forest for the trees. Meaning these, while important, are in the context of our need for continuing resources. Carol was eloquent on this when she spoke to her confidence in the era of abundance, but we do need to move on in terms of new sources. So, Amy, can you just say a little bit more about, do you anticipate that your own team might be locking step with advocates for increased resources for housing or supplemental or substitute resources for housing, especially for affordable housing, and will you keep your eye on financing-related legislation? Could you just say more about it?
I mean, the budgetary investments are always something that we stand up with the department at the hearings in finance, and we look forward to seeing what's coming out as part of the governor's budget.
As you said at the top, that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely, absolutely, and definitely plan to be supporting the efforts as things move forward during the session, and we see what comes out through the budget.
Or even non-budget
yes.
legislative activities.
Yes.
And we want to be aligned with the housing department and make sure that we're holding hands all the way through this process.
Appreciate it. Makes a lot of sense.
So that's all the questions on the state side. This is Amy Rano again. I'll just touch on the federal quickly. Many of these are familiar priorities that continue. The performance-based contract administration I mentioned. Senator Reid has really taken the lead on this nationally and has language in the T-HUD appropriations bill that's currently being debated by Congress that would put Rhode Island Housing and other HSAs like us in a very good position. With HUD, and in a unfortunately, we are in a little bit of a unclear what's going to be happening at the national level on the budget, whether there is an omnibus bill, whether there's a year-round seasonal OCR or something like that, and that will have a big impact on language like this that's out there. So we're certainly working with our New England counterparts and with NCSHA nationally to push for this language to be included, but it's unclear at this point how that whole appropriations landscape is going to sort itself out in the next month or so. The Affordable Housing Credit Improvement Act, we've been supporting for many years now. This legislation is also sort of caught up in what is or isn't going to happen in Congress. It needs a vehicle. That would generally be a tax extender bill, which used to be pretty regularly passed at the end of the year, but hasn't happened for a number of years now. So whether it is the entire package or key aspects of the package, like the increase in the allocation of tax credits or even the restoration of the 13% boost that we had for several years and expired, we are definitely hoping that some form of tax vehicle does move by the end of the session and that this bill will be able to be attached to it. Very bipartisan, very strong support congressionally. It just needs a vehicle.
Mr. Chair, do you mind if we dive in on this one a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, please.
Obviously, enormously helpful and important if we can enhance LIHTC for our utilization and, for that matter, across the country. What exactly does it do? Does it extend that 13% boost that you described? And is there other stuff in there?
So it actually increases, for the small states like Rhode Island, it would increase our allocation by 50%.
Good.
So huge. It would also reduce the requirement around how much of the tax-exempt bond has to be associated with the 4% tax credit.
Yep.
So that would allow our bond cap to go further.
Yep.
And then make some changes to the program, streamlining the program, making it easier to
yep.
utilize those kinds of things. But the bond and the allocation are the two big.
The two, obviously.
Yeah.
And are there, one or two leading national organizations that focus on this as their mission?
Mm-hmm. There's a coalition of organizations called the Action Campaign,
yeah.
which is the sort of spearheading organization for
yeah.
the Affordable Housing Credit Improvement Act nationally. NCSHA has a seat on that body. They really are the ones that take the lead, but there are many, many organizations nationally that are part of that coalition.
Great. Would it be helpful for a couple of us to get even more active in that effort?
Always helpful, yeah, absolutely. Happy to connect with you guys afterwards about
Perfect.
Ways to advocate.
If you don't mind connecting, Hannah and myself will
sure.
team up. We'd love to make our voices heard.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
And then lastly, federal appropriations. I touched on the challenges we are seeing right now at the national level around federal appropriations. We in particular advocate for home project-based Section 8, HPPP, the 202 and 811 programs, which we'd love to see more of happening at the federal level. Our delegation is very supportive. Obviously, Senator Reid is well positioned. It's really more a question at this point of the national dynamics and what's going to happen with regard to the appropriation bills. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on the federal or state or anything for Amy? All right, here we go. This is the only item on the agenda this evening. There's no
no vote to be taken, as we will meet again soon.
We'll be interested in the governor's budget and legislation being filed, and so we will get together again soon.
So if there is no more further business, I'm going to request a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved.
Second, Robert Craven. And second.
All in favor? Well, I'm sorry. I'm
please.
Used to doing that at my other Corinne, if you could take a voice vote.
All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. That sounds like four affirmative votes to me. Thank you. Thank you.
Is adjourned.
One more time. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Thank you.